Whole StoryQuest Audiobooks presents Longsword 5 by David Pilling, narrated by Marston York. Chapter 1. Wicklow, Ireland, 1276. The host of Dublin tramped down from the snowbound heights. It was cold enough to freeze bits in the mouths of warhorses, to knife through layers of mail and wool. Before them gaped the mouth of Glenmalure. The wide valley floor beyond was lost in shadow. From either side rose the mountains of Wicklow, their barren tops peering over a veil of mist. Gaunt hills and desolate heathland stretched away in all directions, save to the east, where the distant shores of the Irish Sea glimmered under the pale winter sun. The captains of the host called a halt. English knights and sergeants drew their sodden cloaks tighter, drank deep from flasks of spiced wine or ale. A few peered nervously at the black valley and touched their sword hilts for luck. "This is a place of slaughter," one murmured, "a good place to die." The Irish of the host, Connaught Hinds and Kern of Meath, were more cheerful. Most were infantry, armed with darts, javelins and slings, and dressed in brightly coloured plaids. They went bare-legged, even in the depths of winter. Bringing up the rear were 100 horse-boys, Kern mounted on shaggy hill-ponies. The Irish marched or rode along in loose, straggling order. When a horn blew the order to halt, many of the foot-soldiers broke ranks and fell to talking. The English captains let them alone. Irish foot had next to no discipline but could fight as well as anyone. While the Kern chattered among themselves, their lords gathered to hold a council of war. To the west, on a high slope above the valley, a man stood and watched the approach of his enemies. He was tall and well-made, in the prime of life, proud and graceful as a young stag with keen blue eyes and roughly handsome features under an unruly mop of auburn curls. He wore a warm brat over his woolen tunic and rough leather shoes. The only sign of kingship was the sword at his hip, tucked inside a brown leather scabbard. "Come, my Lord Clare," he muttered. "My Lord Joinville, my Lord Fitzmaurice. I didn't have you marked down as cowards. Will you turn back now, when I have my hand round your throats?" Behind him, a little higher up the slope, sat three of his gallowglass.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?